Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Today, we are launching another 8th Sunday on a new series. And this new series is from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms. We call Ignite Hope. And it's all going to be from Psalms, each time when Pastor Kara or myself will be preaching. You know, and I believe, you know, as we come to the end of the year, where our theme this year is to live out in hope. Hope is very important. So today we're going to come to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. One word that I have used, and I'm sure you also have used, and some of us use it quite often. They say that as you grow older, you use it more often. And this word is why. Why don't you say it with me? Why? We all use this word, why. And Psalm 73 is the question of why. And in fact, it's in this question of why that Psalm 73, the writer, Asa, cried in his heart to God. It would be great if we have all the answer to why. It would be great. But I discovered that not all the why can be answered. Some of them can be answered as you go through the Bible, because the Bible records about past, present, and future. Some of the why that I have in my life are answered in the Bible. Some of the why that I have are answered when life and time unfold. That's why we need to live life forward and understand backward. Because sometime in life, if we are caught up with why, the why can be a trap in your life. Why? That you are not going anywhere. You're just going around in the circle, in the wilderness, because you're caught up with why. So, we need to understand some of our why will be unfold in time. And to do that, you need to live your life what? Forward. We are asked to become a forward-looking people, a forward-thinking people, and to live forward. And as we live and move forward, eventually understand backward. We begin to understand why as it's unfold in time. But I have something to tell you. Some of your why will never be answered till eternity. I wonder, those why that cannot be answered only in eternity. When I'm with Jesus Christ, seeing his face, I wonder whether those why matter at all. I don't think so. We'll be caught up by his beauty and by his glory. And himself, his own face, looking at him, would answer all the whys of life. So, Psalm 73, you know, it's a struggle of why. And you find that this struggle that you have is not only you. The old saints in the Bible, like Job, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and David, and saints throughout the ages also have asked this question, why? It may surprise you that non-believers also ask why. And now in Psalm 73, the writer Asa asks why. One thing I know, God is never surprised and God is never shocked by your question of why do the wicked prosper? Why do bad things happen to good people? And why do good things happen to bad people? Why there is no justice? And in your search for why, you ask yourself, where are you, God? What are you doing, God? Is God really in control of this world? And sometime in the struggle of why, you may ask this and tell yourself, is it worth it to be a believer? The why. You see, some people said, well, I can solve this problem of why. How do you solve this problem? deny that evil ever exists. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. But you know, it's impossible, because to deny evil ever exists is to bluff yourself. Because evil is before your eyes. You hear them, you see them, and you know, sometimes even you may even speak out. Or the other extreme is to say, there's no God. But that also gives you another challenging problem. If there is no God, if God does not exist, where does all the goodness in this world come from? There must be a God who is good that is able to express his goodness to us. So, Asa, you know, have this experience of why, and he can surrender his life, just like you and I, surrender our life to why, and continue our Christian life struggling without an unanswered question. Or we can follow the step of Asa. How he discovered, as he journeyed with God personally, how he discovered and he was able to wrestle with the evil of this world, with the why and the unfairness of life. So where did Asa why begin? It began when he see the outer world. He see the outer environment. And that's how most of us, we see, we feel, and we believe. So the outer, he was trying to find meaning from the outer world to give him meaning to this inner world, to his inside. When you see the outside and try to give meaning to the inside, you will end up with why. So Asa, if you look at Psalm 73, he changed his approach. He changed his approach. Because the common approach of human being is always outside to inside. But the approach of every Christian, because we have Jesus Christ in us, our approach of seeing things, of viewing things, should be always where? From where? From inside out. I believe, I feel, and I see. And so when Asa begins to change the way how he sees things, his why answer was answered. His why question was answered. So, how does he, what is Asa to do? He starts with looking from inside. Then he discovered about God, about himself, and about the evil in our world. So if he's going to start with, I believe, where is the best place to do? He starts by looking back. Looking back. You see, many of us, when we look back, we look at our failures, we look at our fault, we look at our pain. Most of us, when we look back, we look at the negative side. And of course, when you look back and you look at the negative side, you become more depressed. They become more why. But Asa, he said, when he looked back, he decided not to look at the negative, he decided to look at the positive. And what does he do to look at the positive? He looked at the God who is covenanter in the history of Israel, how God deal with Israel, the work of God and the act of God. And when he looked back at what God has done for Israel, he can only declare verse 1. Verse 1 is a very powerful verse, because in looking back, he believed this thing of the covenant-keeping God with this powerful opening verse. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those whose heart are pure. What a declaration when he looked back, not at the failure, but he looked back and said, God, you are good. Truly, God is good to Israel and to those that have a pure heart. He didn't say that God was good. That means only the past. But he said, God is good. That means God continuously is good. And as he looked back at the history of Israel, he sees from generation to generation the goodness of God to Israel. Because it is the goodness of God that has provided for Israel, that has protected Israel, that has kept Israel from being destroyed. God made a covenant with Israel that he will bless and care for them if they obey his law, written in the book of Deuteronomy. God even commanded them, choose obedience, not disobedience. Choose blessing, not cursing. But Esther recognized that God looks more than external obedience. He wants purity in his heart, in our heart. Here, Esther, struggle began. This is where his struggle began. He looked at himself and said, God, I'm a faithful Jew. I obey your law. I have a clean and pure heart. In verse 13, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? He said, God, look at me. If I look back and you are good and I did everything that is right in your eyes, but I don't enjoy the goodness of God in my life. What is amiss? What is wrong with him? His godless neighbor, those that despise God and have no fear for God. He looked at them, he says, they seem to be more blessed than me. They seem to enjoy life materially and physically. And so he asks, is there something wrong with my belief of God? I tell you, how Asa felt is the same way Job's friends came to him and talked to him regarding his life. Is there something you did wrong that you deserve this? Sometimes before God, that we are living in the fallen world. We may be saved, we are Christian, but we are living in the fallen world. So he looked back, and his only declaration when he looked back is, I serve a good God, and God is good. Not only today, God is good forever. God is good all the time. You know, I like the song. I love that song, God is Good. How many of you like to sing that song? But you know, there was one time I sang this song with a different experience. And there was no other instrument, just two guitars strumming away. And this song, God is Good, has a country western style in it. And the way they play that song, why, I really feel God is really good, you know. And this is the basis that we need to believe. When we look back at our life, God is good. You are here today because God is good. Yes, there are problems, there are mishaps, there are things that didn't work out. But at the end of the day, I need to believe God is good. If I stop believing God is good, then everything in my world will collapse. Because it's only when I believe God is good. Then in Psalm 73, answer the why of life. When there is a law of why, learn this, hope never fails. So the next thing he did was, after looking back, now standing on this belief that God is good, he looked around. And then he said in verse 2, as he looked around, he said, I'm sleeping. As for me, my feet is almost stumbled. My step has nearly slipped. You know, he said, no matter what happened, if I turn to the left or I turn to the right, there is trouble within me. My belief is stretched and tested. He found himself envious of the wicked people around him. Have you ever felt that way? When you see the wicked prosper, when you see those that do not fear God, those that say against God, it seems to be doing so well. And this was Asher's problem. You know, if you look in verse 3 to verse 5, he envies their prosperity and their success. He feels that the ungodly seems to get away. God, Why am I the only one that is suffering? Why am I the only one that is paying the price? In fact, in verse 3 and verse 5, he said the ungodly and their children are doing well. They possess much, they have everything, and they are so successful in the world. They enjoy good life while the godly suffer sickness, and sometimes do not have enough money to pay the doctor's bill. He said, God, I cannot understand when I look around. And worst of all, in verse 6 to verse 9, he said, worst of all, these people that seems to have so much without God, instead of saying, God, there must be a creator, instead of giving glory to God, what do? They boast themselves. I said, they are self-made men. I remember one of the richest men in Australia, he died. Carrie Packer, is it? Packer. What did he say? There is no God. There is no hell. And I saw look at them and say, wow, these people have so much. At least they could say, God is, you know, I may not know who God is, but I know there is a God and He is really blessing me and helping me. No, they boast as if they make themselves. And the worst part, you say that all your success is like a change in the neck. Have you ever seen people wear gold change? Thick one. They say the thicker gold change you have, it shows your wealth. You say these people are living their life with this gold change, boasting what they have, declaring what I have. They have no thought for God. And in actual fact, when he looked at them, he was upset. He said, at least they could be humble and give some credit to God. No. They boast from their heart. And they forget the needy labor. And worst of all, in verse 10 to verse 12, Asa said this, hey, these people who are prosper, they are people who are just running after them, want to hear how to be successful. How to be successful. I mean, if these prosper people were to have a conference on how to be successful, the 10 steps to success, to the wealth of this world, it will be packed. And in verse 10 to verse 12, you say, these people just run. I want to hear from them. And when they hear from them, they're sucking everything as if it is gospel truth. So when he looked around, he said, God, what is happening? You are left out completely. They even say, how does God know? There is no knowledge with the highest in verse 11. And they argue that we are prospering, we are increasing in the riches of this world. We are doing it without God. Who needs God? Look at us. We have no need for God. We do it all by ourselves. And when Asa saw the attitude of these people, it cut deep into their heart. Anytime as a believer, when we see the godless, the wicked, the way they boast, the way they declare, it hits us hard. Asa had that experience. How do you witness to a world that sees godless prosper while godly suffer? Is it worth it to be a believer? He looked back. God, my belief, you are good. He looked around. God, there is so much injustice, so much unfairness in life. Now, he looked within. From verse 13 to verse 15. As he looked within, he began to examine himself. He said, is there something wrong with me? Have I sinned? Has I done something that I deserve this? In fact, when he looked within himself, he said, God, I keep my heart pure. I kept my hand clean. But this is not bringing any special blessing to my life. The wicked Lord seems to be the opposite. Lord, I am disadvantaged. I am left behind. Have you ever felt the way, this way before? He said in the verse, the wicked wake up in the morning to a good life. But every morning I wake up to problems and trouble at the door. These are real feelings deep inside Asa's heart. He's being honest with God. And I want you to know, it's all right to be honest with God. Some records of the cry of individual who is honest with God, how I feel. But the important thing is, don't end up feeling that way. You will discover the journey of Asa. He could pretend everything is good, fantastic, oh, awesome. Some people do that. You see, how is it? How is it? How are you? Oh, no problem. Everything is good. But deep in your heart, there are trouble. He could pretend, but that would make him a hypocrite. But in the other hand, he has said that God is good. This is his belief. This is his faith in God. He can't just give up that belief about the goodness of God. You know, I'm encouraged to know that even great men and women of faith in the Bible and in church history struggle with some of the why, the problem of life. Jeremiah asked the Lord, Lord, you have always given me justice when I bring a cause before you. So let me bring you this complaint. This complaint. Why are the wicked prosper? Why are evil people so happy? Job asked the Lord, why do the wicked live and become old? Yes, become mighty in power. I do struggle with the same question. And I tell God, it is unfair. It is not right. How come? Where are you, God? So the psalmist who wrote this Psalm 73 was in the critical crossroad of his life. He looked back and he declared, God is good. He looked around and said, gee, something is not right with the wicked around and the godless. And now he looked within. He see the pain, the struggle, and the turmoil. And he asked himself, have I made a mistake? Is it wise to trust God and obey his law? What would he do? Would he give up his faith and run like the crowd that worships success? Would he try to hold to his faith and pretend that all is well? We sang that first song, Is It Well With My Soul? And struggle emotionally and spiritually. You see, Asa did not stop looking within. When you look within, you can be depressed. Asa took the next step, and that's the right step. And what he did, he started to look up from verse 16 to verse 22. Despite of his confusion, his confused mind, and his troubled heart, Asa went to the temple and God, and there he presented his case to God. No matter what we may see in the day in and the day out of life, we must always bring it to God. Bring it to his presence. Bring it when you spend time with him. In the quiet moment, you come to the Lord and you ask him. And you'll find that when you do that, you begin to change your perspective. Because it's only when you spend time with the Father that God's perspective will be replaced by your perspective. God's thoughts and God's way are higher than yours. We only see now and what is in front of us. But God sees everything in light of eternity. When we walk by sight, all we can see is the price tag of life. But when we walk by faith, we discover the value. Just like Isaiah in chapter 6, when he went to the presence of God and he worshiped at the throne of God, there he saw God, he saw himself, and he saw his world, and he left the presence of God with a different perspective. We need to spend time with God. If not, the value of this world, the turmoil of this world, the challenge of this world, the unanswered question of this world will sink so deep into you that you ask yourself, God, I'm following you. What is happening? When we spend time with God, our outlook changes. We change from a worldly outlook to a heavenly outlook in life. When we spend time with God, our values, our evaluation of life change and our decision change. This is what happened when Jeremiah spent time with God. Jeremiah was asked this question by God. What do you see? You see, when Jeremiah answered God and said, Lord, this is what I saw. God told him, you have seen well. I'm about to perform my word. Until we spend time with God and begin to align our heart, our soul, our mind, our life to God and begin to understand what the Bible says, what is God's eternal plan. When it comes into the alignment and we are able to say to God, God, I agree with what you are doing. I may not understand everything because I'm not God, but Lord, I agree because you are good. When that alignment comes into place, this is what the Lord says. I'm about to perform my word. Many times God wants to perform his word in your life, but the word cannot be performed because your heart, your emotion, your thoughts is not in line to what he wants you to believe and what he wants you to see. So, when he looked up, there came an adjustment within, a revelation of God's eternal plan for both the righteous and the unrighteous. How did it happen? It happened in worship, when he spent time with God. I want you to know it's important when on the Sunday service, when we worship God, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship is not an entertainment. It's not a hype. It's engaging God in spirit, in truth. It's focusing on God and not self. It's adjusting our vision and our perspective to life in view of what God says in his word. Choosing the things that matter most in life. This is what happened when he looked up. Asa spent time and he visited God's sanctuary. And when he visited the sanctuary of God and began to just wait upon the Lord and cry to God, his vision was sharpened. And God sharpened his vision. And then he was able to see the truth of the prosperity of the godless. Verse 17, he said, then understood I their end. God, then I begin to see that they may be going on so well, so healthy, so rich. They may be moving on as if they are alive itself. But then when I was in God's presence, as I worshiped him, I saw their end. Their end is different from my end. They are heading to a road different from where I'm heading, as I say. They are heading to death. I'm heading to life. They are heading downwards. I am heading upwards. Everything that they have. I tell you, the fairness of God is this. God is very fair. We all come to this world naked, without anything. No matter what you accumulated, you will leave this world what? Nothing. Every baby is born plus and minus a few kg. Point something. If you become heavy, it's your own doing. Because we all come the same. And this is what Asa was saying. He said, God, even though they may look so good, even though I look at it, I envy it. And sometimes we do envy. But he said, but Lord, when I begin to worship, I begin to see that everything they have is only temporary. The end, it comes to nothing. They cannot bring it with them. It's gone. So, he said, Lord, in verse 18 and verse 19, when I look at their future, the future of the wicked, it is destruction, desolation, utterly consumed with terror. Wonder Jesus said this word, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, when Asa began to spend time with God and worship Him and say, God, you are God, you are on the throne, you are good, he has a new insight into the destiny of the wicked. And he has a new insight into his own heart. He realized that he has not been thinking and acting like a believer created in the image of God. He realized he has been thinking like the people of this world, using different standards to measure life. And this standard devalue and minimize the eternal. For this standard of this world focus on the immediate and temporary. So when he spent time with God, he began to see himself, God, I'm measuring life differently. I'm not measuring life the way you want me to measure. I mean, Asa said, I have cleaned my heart clean, my hand clean. Not that he has committed a gross sin. It is just wrong thinking. Wrong thinking will lead to wrong living. When you are overwhelmed by the why, when life is unfair, focus on God. Always hope, because hope never fails. Hope in bringing God. Hope in God bring you to the next step. Not only you look up, but you look what? You look ahead. Verse 23 to verse 28. When he looked ahead, he was able to see the destiny of the godless. The destiny of those that do not fear God and do what they want with their own life. Because he spent time in God's presence. That he was able to see his own life. When he looked ahead, he saw God knows his past, God knows his present, and God knows his future. We need to believe God knows everything. And he is not passive. He is actively involved in the life of his children. The Bible tells us the step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. The Bible tells us that God is busily preparing each step you take. So when he looked ahead, he began to recognize God knows me, my past, my present, my future. Your past. God, you hold me in your right hand. Your present, you are continuously with me. Your future, you will guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Oh, the wonderful thing as you look ahead, that God is not an absent God. He is not an insensitive God. He's not a God that does not care. He's a God that is in control, that sees everything. But in his time, God will take action. With God, you have a forgiven past. you always have a good, pleasant, and always a great future. From verse 23 to verse 28, when he looked up, he said, God is with us. God is holding us. God is guiding us. And one day, he will usher us to his glory. But what about the godless? The godless head to eternal destruction. But as a believer, there is eternal glory. The crown of this world will become nothing. The riches of this world will become nothing. But the crown of believing in Him, trusting Him, putting our hope in Him, is the crown that you will receive and I will receive. Whenever you feel life is unfair, when there is why question in your life, look at verse 23 and verse 28 and see how blessed and how rich you are. The unsafe people may have health, wealth, and worldly success, but they do not have God. No matter whatever you have, the riches of this world, without God, you have nothing real and eternal. So when Asa value everything in light of eternity, in light of heaven, in verse 25 and verse 26, his perspective of life changed. Now he looked at the godless and he said, in the beginning when he looked at them, he said in verse 7, they have more than their heart would wish. But as he come to the end of that journey, when he discovered God, he discovered himself and he discovered the wicked world. At the end, his conclusion is this: because he has God, he has everything. He said in the beginning, my feet is slipping, I'm falling, something is troubling me. But at the end, he said, I'm firm. I stood firm. I stood firm in my faith. I almost, he said, admit to my friends there's something wrong. But now I admit to my friend, faith in God, it's not a mistake. In the closing psalm, or Psalm 73, he declared, all his doubt and fear is gone, and now he ended up to declare the wonderful work of God. Let me ask you, did the world change? Did the world change? No, the world has not changed. Wickedness is still there. Evil is still there. The world has not changed. But Asa changed. That's the important thing. We cannot change the world, but we can change from within us. Asa changed. Psalm 73 teaches us some valuable lesson. Walk by faith and not by sight. No matter what, the word of God is true. God will perform His word. It tells us, in life, don't live for the temporary. Live for the what? Eternity. Don't have a short-term view. Have a long-term view. Don't have a worldly perspective. Have a heavenly perspective. Because we live by promise. Say amen. We live by promise. And God's promise is real. We do not live by explanation. We live by the promise of God. Sometimes we want God, please explain. Some of the things God do not need to explain. What we need is to ask Him, increase my faith to trust You, to believe in You. So the world that Asa live in have not changed. But one thing has changed, Himself. And when you have this why question that troubles you, I ask you right now, hold five. Take a step backward. Look back. God is good. Yes, I look around. It looks as if there's many injustice and unfairness. I look in and ask myself, God, is trouble in my life because of what I did. But God, I have done nothing wrong. Then you need to hold fast to the promises of God. Then you look where? You look up. Look up. God's people is a look up people, not look down. Look up. And then when you look up, you begin to see how good God is, the plan of God for His children, for the righteous and the unrighteous, even though the rain is sent every day to the righteous and the unrighteous, even though the sun is sent every time to the righteous and to the unrighteous. But at the end of the day, the righteous has a path, the unrighteous has a path. That's what the Bible says. So, Asaph's world have not changed, but he has changed. He has changed to live in God's promise and to believe that God's promise is real, to believe that the hope that he has in God will never fail, and he will grow, and he grow in his relationship with God. Finally, some preacher, when they say finally, it may be just the start of a sermon. Finally, when good things seem to be happening to bad people, don't get envious of them. Don't be critical of God. Just find out what good things God is doing for you. And let Him work. Let Him work as your hope in God never fear. Amen.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.